Father, we thank you tonight. We're no longer slaves to fear. We're no longer slaves to bondage. We're no longer slaves to the devil. We're no longer slaves to darkness. We're no longer bound by anything. We've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed, how we love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you. We're not bound by anything. Thank you. We're not bound by anyone. Hallelujah. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. So we rejoice tonight, Father God, that we've been set free in freedom, set free by the power of God, set free by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you for saving us from a devil's hell. Thank you. Thank you for getting us out of darkness, transferring us to the kingdom of your dear Son, to the kingdom of life. We're so glad, so glad, so glad, so glad about it. Father, as we stand before your word tonight, Father, we realize that you have a purpose, you have a plan. We didn't just come up here to fill time. We came, Father God, to join with your purpose, to join with your plan, Father God, and desire just to be pleasing unto you. And Father God, we thank you for the mighty word tonight. Your word is breaking yokes. Your word is breaking bondages. Your word is breaking tradition, breaking old ways of thinking, breaking down strongholds. Your word is prevailing tonight. Your mighty word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Your word, one day heaven and earth will pass away, Father God, but not your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your word tonight is dripping with anointing, just waiting on someone to apply faith, to apply faith to it. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you. So we're not going to be bumps on a log. We're not going to be idle listeners tonight. We're going to be active listeners tonight. We're going to release our faith. Hebrews 4:2 says the word preached didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That's not going to be us, because we, as the word is preached, we are going to mix that word with faith tonight. Hallelujah. And so it's going to be very profitable, going to be very profitable to us. Hallelujah. And then thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our helper tonight. Thank you for the great helper tonight. Thank you for the great Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Where would we be without the Holy Ghost? He's our standby. He's our advocate. He's our strengthener. He's our truth giver. Hallelujah. He's our comforter. Hallelujah. He's our counselor. He gives us utterance and unction on tonight. Thank you for that. And so have your way in this very service. May all be done decent and in order, and may you be pleased and glorified by all that is said and done. And Father, we'll be ever so careful. Now, thank you for blessing Pastor and Mrs. Hagen as they minister there and crusade there in Alabama. Bless all who are with them. And then thank you for those in Oklahoma City. Bless all who are with them. Give all of them safety. And then, Father God, we'll be so grateful just to give you all of the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that you accomplish right here and for those viewing tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 I want to begin just by thanking these frontline singers and band. Now, of course, you know, you have Rhea and Darren and Jade and Finley and Raina and all of our band musicians. Can you just give them a big hand? They let us, these folk right here led us straight into the presence of God. We could go home right now and say it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. We went straight to the presence of God. Amen. Give one more hand. I mean, glory to God. They came prayed up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you can have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. You have your Bible tonight. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24. Up in the sound booth, if you're helping us tonight, I don't know. I don't see my TV on, but if you're helping us, we need scriptures in New Living Translation. Now, I'm going to read. My favorite version is New American Standard. So some of these I may read from New American Standard, but I studied them all out in New Living Translation. And so whatever version you're using, that's all right. Saying the same thing, really. But the New Living just giving us a slightly different perspective. And so if they can get it up on the screen for us, then we'll look from our versions up there at the New Living. Title of tonight's message, Let Your Conscience Be Your Guide. I want you to look at somebody and say that title to them. Let your conscience be your guide. Find one more person. Not trying to be, just tell them, let your conscience be your guide. Yeah, amen. I said amen. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 24, and I'm going to read then those first seven verses. 1 Samuel 24. I'm reading from New American Standard. Want to see it, though, in the New Living. Okay. Now, when Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the shepherd's folds on the way where there was a cave. And Saul went in to relieve himself. Don't you like to just have the Bible put all your business out there in the street? Now, David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. And the men of David said to him, Behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I am about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you. And then David arose, and he cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly. And it came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. And so he said to his men, Far be it from me because of the Lord, that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed. And David persuaded his men with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul arose and then left the cave and went on his way. I have a friend, he did something very egregious one time. And as we talked about it later after the fact, years after, looking back on it, and he said to me, what I did so wrong, what I did against the Lord, the mistake I made, he said, when I first went to make that mistake, he said this to me. He said, my conscience ate me alive and I couldn't do it. He said, I was going to commit a sin. I knew it was a sin. He said, my conscience ate me alive. I couldn't do it. He said, but then I said to the person I was with, he said that you know, if I had just a little buzz, a little bit of alcohol, he said, I might be able to do that. And they went ahead and did what they were going to do under the buzz, under a slight influence of alcohol. That slight influence of alcohol, what it did was it enabled him to override his conscience. You understand what I'm saying? And anytime any of us go to overriding our conscience, then trouble is going to result down the road. The thing that throws people off is that you may not get in trouble right away. And so people override their conscience, and because nothing happened, they think, oh, I'm just free and clear. Listen, don't you ever override your conscience. I remember when I first became really critically aware of my own conscience. Well, you know, we're all aware, you know, when we come of age, we're aware of our the right and wrong, you know, knowing right and wrong. The conscience gives you your ability to know right and wrong at an early age and that. But as a Christian, I remember coming into cognizance of my conscience when I had not prayed to receive Christ. I was just about to receive the Lord, had been in a Bible study. I'd been raised Catholic. And so when I heard the things of the Lord about salvation in Jesus, I thought I already had everything I needed. I didn't think I needed to pray to receive Christ, and just blind, just lost, you know, and just had a sincere ignorance. But it took 6 months of a Bible study before the eyes of my heart were enlightened and I could see that I needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I needed to repent and not only know about Jesus, but individually receive him into my life. You understand what I'm saying? And so I was just at that stage before I received Christ. And I'll never forget we were in a Bible study, and this guy was leading the Bible study, trying to get us to see that we needed Jesus. And so he said this. He said, guys, if you have had premarital sex, God will forgive you. How many know premarital sex is wrong? Yes. People act like they don't know that's wrong today. But I guess we need to say more about it. So he said, guys, if you've committed premarital sex, he said, God will forgive you. But I was so ignorant and blind, I didn't know that was wrong. And so I thought to myself after I came out of Bible study, I'll never forget. I said to myself, if premarital sex is wrong, not that I was any casting over anything, I said, I'm going to have to change my lifestyle. I don't want to change my lifestyle. I don't want to know. I said to myself, if that man is right, it'd be better for me not to know. This honestly happened. I said, I'm not going to find out. I don't want to see no evil, hear no evil. I don't want to know about nothing. I don't want nobody to tell me nothing. I don't know that about nothing. I don't know about nothing. This honestly happened. And so in those ensuing days, like my friend told me, my conscience ate me alive. I mean, I had peace nowhere. I couldn't sleep right. I'm a good sleeper. I couldn't sleep right. My conscience was eating me alive. I was on the way to class, taking Rutgers bus to class. I'm on the way to my calculus class, back of the bus, my conscience eating me alive. At the cafeteria, I got no peace whatsoever. My conscience eating me alive. And finally, I was on another bus on the way to class. I yelled out in the back of the bus, okay, Lord, okay, I'll find out. I'll do what you tell me, okay. All right. I can't take it. My conscience. And I went and found out it was wrong. And the Lord changed my whole life around. And I ain't never been the same. I said, when you violate your conscience, you're inviting trouble. And so tonight, in the few moments that we have, we want to talk about conscience. Everybody say, let your conscience be your guide. Now, conscience and reason and feeling are three different voices. I thought that Pastor Tad did such a great job. I think it was last week he started getting into some of this. I'd already been preparing my message, but he started getting into some of this. If you didn't hear his message last, I think it was Sunday night, you ought to go get that. And we're going a slightly different trek, but that message was powerful. But conscience, say that, conscience. Reason. Feeling. See, those are three different voices to you. See, feeling, that's the voice of your flesh, the voice of your body, right? Reason, that's the voice of your soul, your mind, your intellect. But conscience, that's the voice of your spirit. Now, we have to have a well-trained conscience to really be able to depend on that voice. We have to have a conscience we have to have a mind renewed in the word. You understand what I'm saying to you? So that we can depend on our conscience. Because we're going to talk about three types, three levels in our conscience. Because the Bible says you can have the best thing we need a clear conscience. Everybody say clear conscience. Yeah. But the Bible also talks about a weak conscience. Everybody say weak conscience. And then over there, the Bible also talks about a seared conscience. Everybody say seared conscience. Yeah. And so if we're going to be able to trust our conscience as the voice of our spirit, what we've got to do is feast upon the word of God, which will give us accuracy in what our conscience is saying to us. Are you with me there? Okay, we're going to go to scripture and show you all this. And so in our story, now let me say this too about conscience, because conscience, following your conscience, keeping a clear conscience, when we read these scriptures, New American Standard says good conscience, New Living, I like it better here, said clear conscience, like a clear conscience. And see, when we keep a clear conscience, keep a good conscience, then I tell you, three things are just gonna take off in your life if you'll keep a clear conscience. Number one, you're gonna have great discernment with God. Great discernment in spiritual matters. Your ability to accurately discern in spiritual things is gonna improve immeasurably if you keep a clear conscience. We should have one amen there. Amen. Discernment with God. Now, secondly, your decisions are gonna improve. You're going to make some of the best decisions you have made in your life if you keep a clear conscience. Are you with me there? And thirdly, your dealings with people. Discernment, decisions, dealings with people. Your dealings with people are going to be so good, going to improve mightily if you'll keep a clear conscience. You understand what I'm saying? And so here in our primary text, 1 Samuel 24, David, he's being chased by Saul. And we understand the text told Saul had 3,000 trained warriors hunting David down. Saul is in a jealous, flesh-filled, carnal rage. He realizes that God is going to replace him. He has disqualified himself from leadership, disqualified himself as king. And he realized who the next king's going to be. And in a jealous rage, he's chasing David, who only means him good, all over the countryside trying to kill him. And David's running for his life. And he finds out that David is in this town called En-Gedi. And Saul heads over to En-Gedi. And David is way up where the sheep and the goats go. He's so high up there. And there's a cave up there. And Saul goes in there, the Bible said, went in there to relieve himself. And the Bible said that David and his men, they were in the inner recesses of the cave. And David's men said to him something powerful, but absolutely wrong. Go back to your text for a minute. 1 Samuel 24. Verse 4, the men of David, Saul did not know they were in the cave, but they knew he was in the cave. And his men said this to him. The men of David said to him, behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I'm about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you. God never told David that. He told him that his enemies would not triumph over him. God told David, I will deliver you from your enemies. God told David, your enemies will stumble and fall. God told David, I will see you through. He never said, I'm going to give you your enemies and let you do whatever you want to them. God never told David that. You can find that nowhere in Scripture. They were inaccurate. They twisted that part. And they got David all fired up, and he took a knife and went over there and snuck up to Saul's royal robe, what represented the king, because he had taken that robe off to do his business, and David cut off the corner of the robe. It was like grabbing a souvenir. It was like saying, you can't wear that robe no more because you ain't the king. I'm dethroning you. I'm pulling you down. Me and my hand, I'm pulling you off the throne. But the Bible said his conscience began to eat him alive. He cut Saul's robe and his conscience started working on him. And see, then when his conscience started bothering him, see, his voice of his spirit talked. Then he said, no, 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 the men were going to kill him. They were going to kill Saul right there. He said, no, 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 do not touch him. He is the Lord's anointed. My conscience bothering me. We done something wrong. We done gone too far. We done gone too far. He said, my conscience bothering me. And every good Christian ought to keep a clear conscience. You can't get no amen teaching like this. I said every good Christian ought to keep a clear conscience. I said every good husband ought to have a clear conscience. Every good wife ought to have a clear conscience. Every good boyfriend or girlfriend, they ought to have a clear conscience. I said, I wish I had an amen. Things would be resolved so much quicker if we would listen to our conscience. If we would quickly obey our conscience. I wish I had another amen in here. You get in trouble. You'll get in trouble override. God will let you do it. He'll let you override it. But the moment you have trouble is coming. Trouble is coming. Satan is on a train filled with trouble headed your direction when you override your conscience. And that thing may not blow up on you the first night, the first week, the first year. But I can guarantee you this is going to blow up. And so David, he repented. He said, no, we went too far. Now I didn't cut his robe off. He was listening to those men. They told him the wrong thing. They told him part of the truth. God was going to give him victories over them. He said, oh yeah, the Lord told you, you can go over there and do whatever you want to your enemies. Child, please. You got to turn with me real quick. We got limited time. Go to Proverbs 25. We're going to look at Proverbs 25 and 24. Keep your finger there in 1 Samuel because we got to run. We got to run. But we feel like we're supposed to say everything that we're saying to you. Where did I tell you to go? Proverbs. Let me just show you how I can prove, how you can prove. You can just take the word and prove what David's men said was wrong. Go ahead, do whatever you want to your enemy. God said you can do whatever you want. Look at verse 25 verse 21 first. Proverbs 25, 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. You know what those burning coals represent? The enemy's conscience. By doing good, you will impact your enemy's conscience. Do good to your enemy. Said, I wish I had an amen. The burning coals, it represents conscience. Look 24. Proverbs 24, verse 17. Proverbs 24, verse 17. David could have read this part of scripture and known right there what those men were telling him wasn't true. 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. Can you see that? We don't have time. You could go straight to Romans 12, Romans 14, the Bible says, listen, love your enemies, do good to your enemies, do good to those who spitefully use you, say all manner of evil against you, treat them well, pray for them. I said, if somebody's bothering you, pray for them. And so they said the wrong thing. Let me say this. I have to say, listen, in what they said to David, they had a good heart. They had good intention, but they didn't say it accurately. And David acted on false information and made a wrong decision. You understand what I'm saying? And so be careful when people are telling you what the Lord said for you. Don't just blindly accept somebody telling you, well, the Lord said, thus says the Lord to you. The Lord says this for you. Oh, here's what the Lord's telling me to tell you. Don't just blindly accept that from anybody. You better look on the inside. I said, God will guide you on the inside. Proverbs 20:27, Romans 8:14, Romans 8:17. God will, he leads us on the inside. In the New Testament, as believers, we're to be led on the inside. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. God's going to lead you. Listen, he's going to lead you on the inside. And you better make sure that whenever somebody tells you something from the Lord, that you have it on the inside of you. Amen. We got too many people running around. They said, Lord said, do this. Lord told you to do this. Lord, thus said the Lord. Lord telling you to do this. Lord telling you to do this. You better listen. And God does do that. I'm not denying the validity of the prophetic. But God never intended you and I to be led by the prophetic influence of other people. We're to be led by the Holy Ghost down in our spirit. And there are times, listen, there is a validity to thank God for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for prophecies, the office of the prophet. And we don't have time to go this direction, but the office of the prophet and simple gift of prophecy, two different things. Sometimes people are using the simple gift of prophecy and they get to thinking, God used me in the simple gift of prophecy. They think I'm a prophet now. Child, please. Don't have time to go there. But the point is, listen, the prophetic, there is a validity in the prophetic. Most of the time when you see somebody getting the prophetic word, they are about to go to some deep, deep trial. Most of the time, go look at the prophetic words Paul got. He was about to go through a deep, deep trial. Snake bit, shipwreck. But you and I have the encouragement and the admonition of this book. Amen. And this book is endued with victory. And when we get God's word on the inside of us, along with our redemptive realities, we're already sitting in a position of authority, already sitting in a position of victory. And so there's just so many things we could say about it. But be careful when people are telling you, because people mean well. I think, listen, people really mean well. They mean well. But but not enough people check it out. I used to love when Brother Hagin would minister to people. He'd minister to people and then he'd ask them. He'd give them a prophetic word and then he'd say to them, does that mean anything to you? He says, if it doesn't mean anything to you, then just forget it. He'd say, because I can miss it. I'm just a man. I could miss it. If you don't sense it on the inside, if you don't have it on it, just forget it. He told us as students, 1985, he said of the hundreds of words, personal words, prophetic words that have been given to me, he said most of them, almost all, he said a good, far majority, vast majority, all a bunch of junk. He said, and to be sure, there were many that were God, that were the leading of the Lord. But he said the vast majority of personal words he got from people, just a bunch of junk. How did he know? Down on the inside. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit on the inside. And so David's men, they led him in a wrong direction. They said one thing that was true and another thing that wasn't. Don't have time. But over in Acts 21, do not go there, but you can search it out. You want more information? Go look up Acts 21. Look down there around verse 11. Look at what happened when Paul was trying to go into Jerusalem and his entourage is with him. Luke and Gaius and Timothy and so all these men of God are with him. And when Agabus the prophet comes and grabs a belt and says, whoever owns this belt, thus saith the Holy Ghost, whoever owns this belt, bonds and afflictions await the man who owns this belt. And Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, Luke said, and the rest of them, they said, Paul, God's telling you not to go. You're not supposed to go to Jerusalem. And Paul said, what are y'all doing? What are y'all talking about? Y'all are breaking my heart. What in the world are you talking about? I have to go to Jerusalem. He had it in his spirit. Read chapter 18 of Acts. He had it in his spirit. Read 19. He had it in his spirit. Read the first part of 20. He had it in his spirit. I have to go to Jerusalem. So when somebody else came saying, no, you're not supposed to go. It's not the will of God for you. He already had it here. You understand what I'm saying? I took considerable time to explain that point, but it's so important. It's just an observation from the text. But let's go on and give you some scripture in the time that we have. We're talking about conscience. Conscience. First of all, the Bible says keep a clear conscience. Now, don't turn here. But we see David also had issues with his conscience. We see that over in 2 Samuel 24:10. Don't turn there. Over in 25:31, Abigail tells him, if you make this mistake, your conscience is going to bother you once you become king. So David, there are times in his life regularly he had to deal with and address issues of conscience. Go with me over to Acts chapter 23, verse 1. 23 verse 1, 24, 16, 23 verse 1, Acts 23 verse 1, 24, 16. If we could have that in the New Living. 23 verse 1, Paul said this. Let's see if I can read it from here. Acts 23 verse 1, gazing intently at the high council, Paul began, brothers, I have always lived before God with a clear conscience. Can you see that? I like that. He said, I've always lived before God with a clear conscience. Look at 24:16. Acts 24, 24 and 16. 24 and 16. And in view of this, I do my best always to maintain a blameless conscience. There and New Living says, I do my best. I try to maintain a clear conscience. You see it again there, a clear conscience. Paul said, I want to keep before God. I want to keep a clear conscience. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Timothy, I know we're running. 1 Timothy 1, I want to give you scripture though. A word without scripture is not a word at all. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul said, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience. New Living again says, love that comes from a pure heart and a clear conscience. A clear conscience. You can see over and over again, the Bible talks about having a clear conscience. In that same chapter, you're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 19. 1 Timothy 1 and 19, we're talking about a clear conscience. God wants you and I to have a clear conscience. I said amen. Verse 19, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Keeping faith, keeping faith. He says, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. 1 Timothy 1:19. Over and over again, we see the admonition from Scripture to keep a clear conscience. Go with me to the book of Romans, the book of Romans. We'll stop real quick. We'll just stop, just a pit stop at Romans chapter 2, around verse 15. Talking about the importance of your conscience. Romans 2, 15. Romans 2 and 15. And that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing them witness, their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. What's he talking about? He's talking about why God one day is going to judge the world. Paul is saying we're not to judge, but God's going to judge the world. And he says those who were under the law, like the Jews, he's going to judge them for how they violated that. Those who had other moral laws, the moralist, he's going to judge them for violating moral code. But he says even if somebody had no moral code, had no law, even if someone had no religious background, no religious training, God says I'm going to hold everybody accountable because everybody has a conscience. And your conscience will tell you right from wrong. He said your conscience will lead you to see, you can look up at the stars, you can look up at the sky, and your conscience will say, someone, a God, had to put that up there. So God, when he judges people, his conscience. Look at Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9. I know we're hitting you with scripture, but a text with no context is a pretext, and we've got to give you scripture on what we're saying. We're talking about, look, a clear conscience, a weak conscience, a seared conscience. And Romans 9, verse 1, he says, I'm telling you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. In my conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. Paul said, my conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. Can you see it there? The power of conscience being the voice. The conscience is the voice of our spirit. You're in Romans. Go to chapter 14, verse 3. 14 and verse 3. Romans 14 and verse 3. If I could see that in the New Living. Romans 14 and verse 3. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Keep going. Go to verse 4. Are we just above that? Go one verse above that. For God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servant? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. So that's talking about conscience, issues of conscience. He's saying, listen, if someone has a weaker conscience than you in an area of food or diet or something like that, then don't offend people just to be offending them, just to be making silly points. Regard someone's conscience. Someone might have a weaker conscience than you. You might be able to do something with a stronger conscience and someone else have a weaker conscience. And he said, look, don't violate your brother's conscience because you have a stronger conscience. He speaks of a weak conscience. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. We're talking about a weak conscience now. We looked at several scriptures that talked about a clear conscience. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul goes to talking about a weak conscience. At verse 9. But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. For if others see you with your superior knowledge eating in the temple of an idol. Again, he's saying the same thing. You can see he uses the word with a weak conscience. If others who have a weaker conscience see you, he's talking about people buying food that's been sacrificed to idols. And he's saying, look, brothers and sisters, even though you know you don't believe in any demons, you said the grace over your meal. You know, they killed back then in that culture, they would kill the food. They would kill the food in the name of an idol. They would pledge it all to an idol. And then there were problems in the church because sometimes believers said, you know, that food was sacrificed to an idol. But then other believers said, we're not under any idol. Jesus has freed us. We spoke the blessing over it. So we had to buy meat, but the curse ain't on us. We don't have anything to do with an idol. But what he says here is, look, if you're going to the temple to eat that meal, where clearly the meat was sacrificed to an idol, your brother there might have a weaker conscience. They might not know that you're doing that. So regard your brother's weaker conscience and don't do that. He spoke of a weak conscience. He spoke of a clear conscience. He spoke of a weak conscience. Man, oh man, we've been running the whole night. Go back to 1 Timothy with me. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 4. Let's talk for a moment about a seared conscience. I said three. I said a clear conscience, a weak conscience, a seared conscience. The Bible has so much to say about our conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. But the question is your mind renewed on the mighty word of God so that your conscience can be accurate when you get information from your conscience? If not, if you don't renew your mind with the word of God, and if you keep overriding your conscience, the Bible says you can get what's called a seared conscience. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 at verse 1, but the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. In other words, they knew it was wrong, but they just kept right on doing it. They said in interviewing lots of the Nazi and the SS soldiers who horrifically gassed 6 million Jews in their trials at Nuremberg and in people debriefing them. And asking them, they asked people who pulled the gas chamber, who hit the gas levers to gas 6 million. They said, how could you do it? Didn't your conscience bother you? You know what the soldiers told them? They said, our conscience ate us alive. When we killed the Jews, they said, our conscience ate us alive. They said, at night, we threw up. We could not eat. We had the worst nightmares. They said, then how did you continue to do it? They said they held guns to our head and said, you will gas them or we will kill you. They made us immediately kill more and more people. And we killed more and more people. We just kept overriding the conscience, just kept overriding our conscience, just kept overriding our conscience. They said, after a while, it just didn't bother us no more. They reached that level of a seared conscience. But tonight, God is searching. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth so he can show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart, whose conscience is clearly his. Amen. God's looking tonight. God's searching tonight. Amen. God's examining tonight. Yes. And you may be here and you may be saying, Brother Bill, I know it. Something's going on. Just like you talk about, my conscience is eating me alive. You may be here and maybe you've never received Jesus. Every head bowed. Maybe you've never received the Lord into your life. Let me see your hand. Your conscience is so bothering you. You know it. Raise your hand real big and say, I need prayer. I need prayer. Usher, stand and help me. Everybody else, heads bowed, eyes closed. Anybody here, your conscience is eating you alive. You say, I'm not born again. I'm not born again. My conscience, I'm not born again. Let me see your hand in here. You might be here and you say, I have received Jesus into my life, but I'm in a backslidden condition. I turned, gone my own way. I'm not living for Christ the way I'm supposed to be. I'm not living for Christ. I've not made him the Lord of my life. I'm doing my own thing. My conscience is eating me alive. Let me see your hand in here. My conscience is eating me alive. God is speaking to people right here. He's speaking to you right here tonight. And you know it, and he knows it. And the question really is, are you going to override your conscience again? Because at some point you're going to sear your conscience. You need prayer in here. Let me see your hand. I need prayer. I need prayer. I'm not living for Jesus. I know I've received Jesus at one time in my life. I'm not living for him right now. Let me see your hand in this place. My conscience bothering me. Oh man, God wants to help you. God wants to touch you. Father, thank you. Thank you. Oh, Father, for the reality of a clear conscience. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Thank you for giving us better discernment. Oh, man, immeasurably better decisions. Oh, my goodness, immeasurably better relationships with people, with husbands and wives and moms and dads. Conscience, issues of conscience tonight. Thank you, Father God, for helping us. Thank you for restoring and forgiving. Oh, but somebody in here, you're sitting down and you're overriding your conscience right now. And you're saying, just hurry up, preacher. Hurry up and get done, because I'm not going to listen. And God's appealing to you. God wants to help you. God's reaching out to you. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Where are you at in this place tonight? Somebody right here. I see your hand. So God wants to help you. God's trying to get something to you. Who else in here? God wants to help you. He wants to change you. He wants to touch you. And if you'll let him, oh, he's a merciful God. The Bible says he's rich in mercy. Hallelujah. Said he's rich in mercy. Wants to forgive you. Wants to throw your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Wants to remember it. No, but you got to obey him. You can't override your conscience and be right with God. You can't override your conscience and be pleasing to God. And you know you need to make that right. I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. You raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand. I want you just to boldly stand up on your feet. God's going to help you. God's going to touch you. God's going to change you. Just boldly stand right up on your feet. Just boldly stand right up on your feet right now. You raised your hand. God's moving on you. I want you to come down here and let me pray for you. Come down here. Let me pray for you. God is going to touch you, and you're not going to leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Come on now. You raised your hand. I know you're struggling. You're struggling. You raised your hand in this place. God's dealing with you. You want him to help you. Come on down here and let him help you. Come on down here. Let me pray for you. If you override your conscience, you could have a seer. After a while, it's going to stop bothering you. It's going to bother you a little bit less and a little bit less and a little bit less. So after a while, don't bother you. The Bible says you and I should keep a clear conscience. Father, you see every heart in this place. You see every life here. And we thank you. You're a God who's rich in mercy. Thank you. You're the God of a second chance. Thank you. You're a restorer, a rebuilder. You're a healer. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Come on forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand right here. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody else, God dealing with you. Come on and let God help you. Come on and let God help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My sister, just lift one hand to the Lord. Praise God. That's where our help comes from. I'm just a preacher. God's your helper tonight. I want you to say this prayer out loud with me. In the congregation, just reach your hands toward our sister. Just say this prayer out loud. Father, I come to you now. Everybody say it. In the name of Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, wash me in the name of Jesus. I ask you to take up lordship in my heart and life, and I will live for you, and I will follow you forever. And based on your word, I accept your forgiveness. Based on your word, I accept your offer through Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for touching our sister. We thank you that she will never be the same. After tonight, Father, thank you. She'll never be the same. May your mighty power overshadow her. May you heal, touch, bless, deliver, strengthen, confirm in her all of your goodness and blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Sister, this is Kay. She is one of our prayer warriors, and Kay is going to give you some free materials. She's going to take you briefly to a room where we have some free materials for you, answer any question you might have, and pray with you one-on-one. Is that okay? All right. God bless you so much. Come on, let's encourage our sister tonight. Come on, you can do better than that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now stretch your hand toward me. Father, thank you for power in the prayer room. Thank you for touching and healing. Thank you for strengthening and delivering. Thank you for the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father God, for all of your blessings and benefits in Christ in that prayer room. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. She's going to be so glad. She's going to be so glad. She's going to be so glad she didn't override her conscience. And yet, we're going to go on, but somebody in here, you still did that tonight. You know it. I know it. God knows it. And yet you'll go home and say, Lord, help me. And yet you keep overriding your conscience. God's waiting on you. And if you'll let him help you, he will. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. My friends, we hit the ground running tonight, but it's an important subject. Let's keep a clear conscience. Amen. Stand up on your feet. Keep a clear conscience. Keep a clear conscience. Your dealings with people are going to be fantastic. Keep a clear conscience. Your decisions are going to be fantastic. Keep a clear conscience. Your discernment in the Lord is going to be fantastic. These anointed people are coming to pray with you. If you want prayer for anything, they're not here to counsel you, but they're here to pray with you. And if you want prayer for something as we dismiss, then you come forward. You won't leave here the same. In Jesus' name. Don't forget all the things Pastor Tad informed us about tonight. Be right here on Wednesday night for Hour of Power. And make sure you keep a clear conscience. Let your conscience be your guide. You are dismissed.